Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. We have many of our standard hosts here today, I'm very happy to say. We have Bruce, we have Eric, we have Joy. Eric is waving in the cams. And we have Stock Trader in the chat room, as well as Mel, which is pretty awesome. So welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. To start, I guess I will start with something that Stock Trader posted in the forum. He made a cheat sheet of the Allen Gordon TMS Recovery Program. Today, we are going to be talking about sections, let's see. Oh no, I lost it. Okay, there we go. 3.5 and 3.6. 3.5 is address repression. Part of treating yourself nicely, as Stock Trader introduces it, is learning to not neglect yourself. And he divides this into two, or Alan divides this into two parts, sadness, summarized by Stock Trader as linking the sadness to the way that I've been treated by my own destructive side can really give it meaning. It's a healthy form of grieving for the suffering that I've undergone, and anger. When I scare and beat myself up without awareness, I repress my rage. So it's important to be able to let that out. And there were some great audio in that. We'll talk about that later. And then finally, identify the sources of the repression, reasons I learned to repress my emotions. And then it suggests that you see the program for that, for the details. Now, Bruce, I realize I have intruded upon your customary area of doing the introduction. Do you have any things, any important notes that you want to mention that I missed from that? Stuff that you'd like
well,
to add?
Well, I just noticed with these two sections, one address repression and the other identify sources or source of repression, of course, addressing repression covers sadness and anger at something you've essentially done to yourself, certain self-destructive behaviors that are basically unnecessary. it seems as if I would start with identifying the sources of repression and then moving on to addressing repression, because it almost seems like the sources of your repression lead into sadness and anger. It's sort of like the why before the fact, before the thing itself, the emotions. It gives it a more of a dimension to me. Like you may repress sadness or anger, says Alan, because these emotions weren't validated when you were young. And I don't quite understand what he means by validated, but the way I read it is that they weren't tolerated by your parents, your superego figures. You weren't allowed to have emotions of your own. That's certainly a basically enraging situation that can lead to repressing your anger constantly. And maybe your parents got so sad or so angry that it was terrifying to you as a child, so you vowed never to be like them. That anger turned inward again and became self-destructive. That's just the emphasis, the way I would emphasize it, leading from identifying the source of repression to addressing repression to the specifics of it.
So if I can summarize this, this is kind of like a classic theme of, do you start with the present and go to the past, or do you start with the past and go to the present? Does anyone have any thoughts on which is going to work better for people?
Yeah, which is the best strategy?
Yeah. It's kind of an intellectual question. I mean, my personal take on it is that you can go either direction. That if you can find, so one thing would be, Okay, I know that I am repressing my sadness. Why am I repressing my sadness? That would be starting at the present, the fact that you're repressing the sadness and going back to the past. Or you can journal heavily about the past and then see how that might cause you to repress emotions in the present. For me personally, it's worked pretty well to start in the present, recognize what I'm doing in the present, and then go back to the past. But heck, people can do it however they want. Anyone else want to chime in? Any other thoughts?
It sounds like that same old argument we keep colliding with about psychoarchaeology. You know, whether a certain strategy, like going back to the past, regrooves those neural pathways and reinforces them, or whether you should just deal with the anger in the present or the sadness in the present and get out of that whole living in the past problem, and reinforcing the old neuroses and the What do you think? Which works best? Just saying, I'm not going to do it now, or go back to the past and then work your way through to, oh, I feel that I was unconsciously angry at my parents, and that's why I'm always burying my feelings now. Does that help?
I've thought about that a lot, and I think that my official position, which I have come to, is a balance, and that the balance depends on the individual person, and that therefore there's kind of a lot of responsibility on the individual person to figure out where in the balance they are. Do they need to re-experience the past trauma now to heal the past trauma, or do they need to let it go, or to focus more on the present? Stock Trader just chimed in. He said, present to past when you are mindful. Your flowing thoughts in your mind will take you to the past if there are any connections. And I think that's in some sense the spirit of this program is to go from the present to the past, to identify. So there are two parallel sections here. There is recognize destructive behaviors and identify sources of abuse. Those are looking at the behaviors that you have. First, you identify the behaviors that you have in the present, and then you look for the sources in the past. And then there is kind of a similar thing happening with address repression and identify the sources of repression. And both of those things, you're kind of looking at the bad behaviors that you have in the present and then going back into the past. But if someone wants to start at the past and go to the present, if that works, go for it. I'd like to get someone else in. I've got some feedback on the podcast, and one direction I'd love to take it in is to make it more kind of experiential, more stories, a little bit less intellectual. So I'd be interested to maybe go, since the recovery program has these amazing stories, either we could talk about our own experiences of doing this, or we could or of applying it, because I think that's what most of the people listening to this are interested in. We all want to get better. You know, we want to use the program, or perhaps we could talk about some of the call-in sessions. Have any thoughts about, have you tried doing this? Has anyone attempted to address repression in their own life and wanted to share some of what they found? Joy, we had talked. Okay, Eric, Herbie, do you want to go?
Joy, go ahead.
Either way. Well, first I'll ask Joy. I mean, is this something you'd want to talk about? Because I think that you were saying something about this before. Go.
Yes,
Yeah.
I had said to my psychologist, "Do I need to let go of the anger and the fear in order to heal?" And she said, "First, you must feel your emotions before you're able to let go of them."
Which I thought was very, very deep.
Yes, I tend to live in the hurt of the past. It keeps me angry, and I'm unable to punish my parents, so I take it out of myself.
Right. Okay. Now that is something which I do. I'm hearing the results of a lot of analysis and the thinking that you've done to kind of dig it up and to analyze it. But I'm also kind of interested in your own experience of the emotion. So as I listen to the calls that Alan has had with people, typically a lot of people, and he actually mentions this, they start explaining things. And then he says, well, tell me how you feel now. You're right. Ginger's unconscious mind is working hard to keep her from sadness. I ask her what she is feeling, and she tells me what she is thinking. She provides me with this analysis. I ask her about sa sadness, and she starts telling me why she is sad. And he says, these are defense mechanisms in action. And we can see why these defense mechanisms are so entrenched. So she, her emotional brain, not her logical brain, has the belief that once the floodgates opened, she will never be able to shut them. Does that resonate at all with you, Joy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So thanks for sharing that. I was confused when you were talking about it. I think you said that. Said that you had difficulty feeling your feelings and that you live in the past, and that makes you angry.
Yes.
But so the it sounds like you're able to
It justifies my sadness and anger.
going back to the past.
Yeah.
I see. I see. So you've, in some sense, you're connecting with that emotion from the past.
Yeah, I have trouble thinking below the neck.
Tell me about that. What does that mean?
You know, my doctor keeps saying, feel your feelings or suffer the symptoms. And it seems like I'm thinking too much and analyzing. And she says, you have to feel. So this is
Right.
like new to, it's new to me.
Yeah. And have you tried feeling? So that sounds like something that you've had some results with Herbie.
Oh, my feelings just run all through me, constantly. If a thought comes to my mind, if I get upset about something, I don't even have to get upset. Just a negative thought could come to my mind just for a second, and I can feel it in my chest, run down basically to the front of my legs. Not pain, but just a feeling, you know? That's the reason I like staying in the good zone. If you notice, I mean, I'm always staying in the good zone. I noticed a while ago you was talking about, you know, ways that we know our repressions or identifying sources of repressions. You know, when I first started doing this and started catching on to what that word repression even meant, I didn't even understand what the word repression even meant. And I started catching on to it, and I started catching on to it by mindfulness. And I learned that from the good Dr. Z that comes on and passes it around, and I learned mindfulness through one of his podcasts. So I picked it up and I started learning a lot. I was sitting there washing dishes one day, and I catch myself in the now, and I hear, you know, all of this stuff just going. Just I hear myself talking to myself in my head, but as I'm journaling, I catch all kind of repressions, things that I didn't even know that I was going over and over and over in my head. And it's like I've grown up a thousand times in 2 years, really. And repressions can go in all kind of different ways. It's just according to who you're talking to at the time, you know? And I've talked to people, and their repressions is about childhood memories. I've talked to other people, and their repressions is about something that happened that day. Like a husband or wife argument or something, and they're telling me they're not even mad about it, but I know that's the source of their pain. And it goes in a lot of different areas. It's their personality. My personality trait of being a goodist was really keeping a lot of inside anger on me. And I didn't know, I thought, you know, okay, I would do this, and I just couldn't say no. I think I answered a post somewhere today where I just couldn't say no. And I had to actually say no on purpose about 20 or 30 times in order to understand that I could. And when I did, I had this liberating feeling. I had this tension release, and I knew even that was a repression. So it goes pretty deep, you know. It goes in a lot of different areas in a lot of different ways.
What do you mean by the good zone? When you say good, do you mean safe? Do you mean comfortable? Do you mean positive? What do you mean by the word good?
Yeah. Me and Forrest was talking one day. It's pretty cool. Staying in the good zone. We was talking about the Ray Stug ratio. And, you know, I know it's on page 29, I think, of one of Dr. Sarno's books. He talks about the rage-soothe ratio, and I'm sitting there, and I'm telling Forrest that my rage-soothe ratio is going out and actually listening to some loud music and exercising real hard and doing something actually rageful. And Forrest said, well, that's actually the opposite of, you know, the way that he had learned it. And it's just staying, you know, when you're staying calm all the time, sometimes you got to get out and you know, have a little fun, or, you know, yell and scream sometimes, I would assume. I mean, I'm just, you know, staying in the good zones, just always Eckhart Tolle kind of stuff, you know. Does
that make sense? Be vulnerable, is that what you mean?
Say it again, Joy.
Be vulnerable and accessible, is that what you mean?
No. See, that's what I was doing when I was the goodest, and I overcame that, you know, and now I can say no when I want to, now I can say the things I want to do, and it doesn't break me down. I don't want to beat myself up after I say no, to where before, if I said yes, I'd want to beat myself up. If I said no, I'd want to beat myself up, but now I understand that's part of my goodest personality. But I went away from that question you just asked me. What was that question?
Oh, I was just saying, what did you mean by the good zone, like positive, safe, comfortable? I wasn't really sure what you meant by good, but you explained it.
Yeah, I love staying there because most of my life as I was growing up, I was pretty much in a, you know, heavy metal rock music. It was always real fast rock music and stuff, and I stayed way out there in the anger zone a lot. And then when I hit 29 years old, I became a preacher, and ever since I've been in the good zone.
Wow.
If that makes sense. I mean, and I know it does. Yeah. But even though I was in that good zone all those years, you know, that TMS still came on me real strong because of the goodest personality, because of so many different factors, probably that I could, you know, remember from my journals, probably, you know, at least 20, 30 different factors.
Wow. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, there's a lot more. Yeah.
Then do you think, Herbie, that TMS develops because of a fundamental disconnect between being overly intellectually analytical and actually feeling your feelings in your body? Is that the interface where it develops? I know if I wake up in the morning and I start having an argument with my inner bully, and it's going to go all day, I'm not in the good zone, as you say. I know it's going to be a bad day if it starts like that, if I'm going to have to constantly justify myself to this inner accuser and have a fight with it. And a good day is where that voice does not exist, that overly analytical, intellectual.
That is a good day.
Yeah, when you're going with the flow and everything's okay. And that's when you actually physically loosen up, isn't it, too? This is like, you know, metaphor goes to reality. It means your limbs are more flexible. You don't have the creak You don't have the creakiness, the what they call arthritic symptoms. It's like there is a direct connection between the intellectual, the emotional, and the physical. When you've resolved that, when you've actually you've got unity of being, I guess, as you know, the poets would say. But
so I'm kind of interested in this idea of as I look at the program, the sections for today are talking about welcoming negative emotions, saying that sadness and anger are part of human condition, and that we're going to be sad. Ginger was sad about losses in her life. Kelly was sad about the way that she had was treating herself and all of the abuse that she was receiving from herself throughout her day. Dustin was angry about all of the stresses that he was under. So tell me, I think that someone could listen and hear a phrase such as the good zone. And so balance is my new word of the day. How does one balance between getting in touch with those negative emotions, which are part of the human experience, and at the same time, living in the good zone? People have thoughts on that? Like, how do you find that balance? Is that even difficult? Is there any challenge to that? Any thoughts on that, Herbie?
You know, I've been using, I use the somatic experiencing. I was talking about it, I think, a couple of shows ago. But right now, most of the time, I use meditation and go ahead and let the feelings go through my body. Because, you know, Forrest and Bruce and Joy, y'all know as much as I do. You're in your mind, no matter who you are, you're not going to always be in the good zone. You just ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And those feelings, I know they build up in my body through the day, and I meditate 2-3 times a day. The mantras, words, saying them over and over. But at the same time, I have to do a lot of tension release through exercise, and at the same time, and thank God I can exercise now, you know, because before when I couldn't, wow, could you imagine somebody that loves staying in a good zone, and there he is, and he can't do nothing to release any tension at all, and he doesn't even know how to do it. Talk about the mindset that I was in at that time. There wasn't no good zone then. It was more of terror. It was more of fear and body pain. But to have the balance there, keep it in the middle of the road, your body wants to deal with the negative emotions as much as you want to have joy. So I have to meditate at the same time to keep myself, my rage-soothe ratio calmed down, you know, in the way that Dr. Sarno had talked about on page 29 of the Mind Body Prescription.
That is great stuff. I love that page. I'll pull that up in a second. Joy, did you want to share? So what do you think about that balance thing? Do you see some challenges in finding a balance? Because I think that's one of the things that you're talking about with your psychologist is how to balance those things. Have you come up with any insights on that?
No, I'm still working on it.
Still working on it. Okay.
I guess
you know,
the key word's moderation. You say balance, moderation, you know, nurture your vision.
Yeah. You actually had some of those affirmations that you put in the in the chat room. Do you want to read some of those out for me? I'd love
Let me see. What did I write? Listening to what's inside of yourself, feel, deal, heal. Allow deep feelings to flow. Lead with feelings instead of thoughts. Having a vision will pull you forward. And then Stock Trader wrote, steps to release anger, guilt, and sadness. Release suppressed anger, resentment. Let go of guilt and shame, and allow sadness and grief to be experienced, and move towards loving relationships with oneself and the important people in our lives, and let go of the three emotions above. It's easier said than done, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I ran from anger and all of that so long when I was preaching. I think I would run from the anger emotions so much that that was a lot that brought tension myositis syndromes on me. And I didn't even know it, to where I needed to sit down and experience them. I was running from them.
Gotcha.
You know, I experienced a lot, you know, and helping people. And then you take that into your body, what they go through. And you have to learn how to, at the same time, release it. And I didn't have that ability at that time like I do now.
That is special. And I think that, you know, when you talk about staying in the good zone, I think that it is it's so important to find that balance of you can be in the good zone, but you can't always be in the good zone. It sounds like what you're saying is that when you're a preacher, you had to let some of that negative out. You had to find the discharge. Interesting. When the thing that I actually wanted to mention later is that Joy's psychologist said it's important to feel it below the neck. And it sounds to some degree, Joy, that your psychologist is encouraging you to do a little bit more of what Herbie is describing as somatic experiencing, to get out of your head, to analyze less, much like I think Alan was suggesting to the callers, and feel the emotions. Allow yourself to be present with the emotions. This is tough because we've been doing this, you know, all of our lives sometimes. I think I still have a way to go in feeling my feelings. But how is that going? Like when she says to you and she says, I want you to feel your emotions in your body below the neck, is it hard?
Give yourself permission to feel, and give yourself permission to change the way we pay attention. It's like a foreign language. I don't really know what she's talking about. This is all new to me.
I think that's great, because I feel like that is exactly what Alan is talking about in these sessions. I'm really glad you bring it up, because this is very applied stuff. I think that what we as peers can really bring to the table as we can talk about our own experiences and the challenges that we face in applying this. So I can relate to that too. I mean, I want to feel my feelings, and I've been looking at some of the somatic experiencing stuff. And I think the somatic experiencing, one of the things that you can do is you can try and understand what's going on in your body. And I listen to my body, and I feel maybe that I have a knot in my stomach, some tension in my stomach. I may feel some other things, but it doesn't give me a clear signal. Are you able to, like, is your psychologist a male or a female, Joy?
She's a woman.
Woman, okay. When she says feel what's going on in your body, are you able to sense anything at all?
I usually start thinking and analyzing because I'm more mentally oriented, so it's difficult for me.
Me too.
I thought I was feeling. She goes, no, you're not. You're thinking.
Yeah.
And she said, you can't think and feel at the same time.
Yeah, you wrote in the thing, give yourself permission to feel the emotions below the neck.
Yeah. She said, I'm in my head too much. She said, quiet the mind. Listen to the silence.
So I'm not a therapist. I don't all the things, but I think that if Alan were on the line right now, he would say, so what are you feeling right now? Like, as you talk about this in your body, I usually feel things in my belly. That's where it goes for me. But wherever you feel it, maybe you feel it in your fingertips. Sometimes I feel frustration or tension in my forehead. Are you feeling anything right now as you reflect on
I always feel it in my lower back, like tense. Mm-hmm. My back's always in knots. I never really feel calm.
I see Herbie smiling and nodding his head. Tell me what you're feeling, Herbie.
I think a lot of us feel it in our lower back. What is it? 85% of America at one time or another is going to go for the back problems, you know. And ain't that like the new thing nowadays about the back? You know, little did I know growing up about that the headaches, you would hear that they're tension, caused from stress. But little did we know when, you know, we got older and growed up that tension ran down into your back. But these emotional feelings, and then somebody asks you, well, where are you feeling in at right now? And you think for a minute, and you start getting a little tense in your back or something, and well, there it is. It's in your back. And like a while ago when you was asking her where was you feeling it, and you said the top of your forehead, I started feeling it in my front of my face. And I'm like, this is some deep stuff, man. This is pretty good, you know? But at the same time, to me, when I'm sitting there and I'm feeling it and I'm doing the somatic experience, and I can actually tell it with my thoughts to leave in a calm manner, and it does. And I'm like, no, that's cool. I'm like, whoa, that was cool. Because, you know, up until I started studying that on TMS Wiki there, I didn't know that I could do that under a calm meditation and feel and just let the feeling be there, because I've always told it to leave in a strong voice or a calm voice or whatever, but never under meditation. And so it was just a different experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first step is always to develop the awareness, to develop the mindfulness and get a sense of what is going on and what the emotions are. I think that's the... We're lucky in the sense that we get to listen to the feedback that Joy is getting from her. I think Arlene Feinblatt, trained psychologist. Bruce, I'm curious. Have you ever tried feeling in your body the any emotions? Like, do you feel the same frustration that Joy feels in terms of having difficulty getting in touch with the emotions? Knowing what you're feeling
well,
at all?
Well, when you used Schubner's ISTPDP meditations on, for example, rage at my father, I've gone through the full range where I felt that anger that I felt at 19 and completely consuming me until it changes to the shame at feeling anger at someone you love, and then finally ends in self-compassion. I've felt that. Yeah, it's quite powerful. One thing I've noticed too is when my back was hurting, I remember one time confessing to a friend of mine about some feelings I was having for someone. And I started to cry, and then suddenly there was no pain. It all went away, and I was completely flexible. I noticed that long before I ever knew anything about these methodologies, these strategies for healing yourself. This stuff appears anecdotally, doesn't it? It just surfaces. It's part of the fabric of life itself, these patterns. The Zen Buddhists and the Mahayana Buddhists didn't discover this stuff because it was, you know, somehow unique to the Himalayas in the 5th century BC. Mm-hmm. It's common with all of us.
So we all can feel it. That's good. Do you ever feel those? So when you were doing those things, did you ever focus below the neck, or was it something where you just had this?
Well, what I have been doing is practicing mindfulness meditation, where I concentrate on listening to my breathing, feeling my breathing, and at the same time move my consciousness from place to place in my body. And afterwards, it does seem like it opens you up because some kind of fundamental change takes place in the quality of your consciousness, like you were doing something biochemical when you do that. And that altered biochemistry has something to do with the origins of TMS pain. Obviously, there's a bad way that the biochemistry is organized as a result, I imagine, of repression. And I guess that's what we're touching on here. But there's also a better way where you're in touch with your body and the feelings in your body, and you're much less self-conscious. You're not worried about offending people. You're not putting burdens on yourself. You're just doing it. You're dealing with reality the way it is as it confronts you on a day-to-day basis and how your body is interacting with it. If that's an answer.
That's sure, a great yeah. answer, Bruce. That was awesome.
And you've been meditating too, haven't you?
What I have been making sure I do is meditate at least 40 minutes a day. And since wow. I've made a resolution to doing that, I've noticed my pain has been sharply going down. And so I'll keep doing it. It's fine with me.
Well, when you were talking about that biochemical stuff, I know I said that we should get less intellectual and more in terms of our experiences, but I cannot resist mentioning that they have studied that meditation really in deep and profound ways changes the brain. It changes the way that your brain uses energy, so we can see it on functional MRI studies. And there are quite a few studies where they have taken experienced meditators and put them in, you know, a medical MRI machine, and seen that, you know, the brains are fundamentally different from all that meditation. So I think it is a powerful technique that you're describing.
Yeah, it seems to heal your trauma. Yeah, okay. Whatever you've done to yourself or has been done to you gets smoothed out with the meditation, gets healed. I guess that's the word you want to use. It's part of self-healing.
Excellent.
And it's interesting that it's indirect, too. It's not like you attack it directly. You change the quality of your consciousness, and then the problem disappears. It's not like you attack the problem and say, go away, or get angry at your mind, like Dr. Sarno suggests. It's more like you let your mind be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Dr. Sarno is going more in the mindfulness direction in the later books. I know that he talks about he gets more accepting, more open to the inner child stuff, and probably even in the mindfulness direction later on. Though unfortunately, we don't have a book for that. But if you talk to Sarno patients, I think that he there's less yell at your brain, and I think that he's coming to many of these same conclusions that we are. We've had some interesting stuff in the chat room. Stock Trader says that he mindfully scans his body, and then thoughts pop up, which I notice, accept, and let them go. So that teaches you the skill of noticing, accepting, and letting go, kind of three-step process of mindfulness. We had a guest in the chat room who's mentioning Meditations to Change Your Brain is a good meditation CD. Certainly, I've seen that name popping up a lot in my Amazon recently, and certainly they are, I believe, on top of that research show talking about how meditation changes your brain.
I don't know if you brought it up already, but Stock Trader in the what is it, the drop-in chant gives a series of steps to release anger, guilt, and sadness. One, release suppressed anger, resentment. That sounds like what I was doing. And then let go of guilt and shame, step two, and then allow sadness, grief to be experienced. And then after that, you can move forward with loving relationships with yourself and the important people in your life. And this lets you get let go of the three emotions, anger, guilt, and sadness, the ones we're examining here in the recovery program, Alan Gordon's recovery program. Hmm. It's interesting how this dynamic repeats in mindfulness meditation, here spelled out by Stock Trader, and then in those Mahayana Buddhist koans, and in Zen, too. It's like it might be universal truth of some kind, huh?
I think it is. I think it is. I think there's deep stuff in there. Speaking of powerful stuff, this week we are doing the Dustin thing. Did you guys get a chance to listen to the Dustin? I feel like I would be remiss if I did not bring us to Dustin. By the way, for those who are listening to the podcast, I do want to, I thought you might be interested in the rage-soothe ratio. This is page 28 and 29 on Mind-Body Prescription, or perhaps just 29. Dr. Sarno writes, the rage-soothe ratio. I believe in a kind of rage-slash-soothe ratio may play a role in determining when physical symptoms will occur. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll go to Dustin and wrap up. Patients frequently ask, why did the pain start now? Invariably, I reply, because your rage has reached a critical level, because it now erupts into consciousness. Suppose, however, there is another element in the equation, that it is not simply the quantity of rage that brings out the symptoms, but the presence or absence of counterbalancing soothing factors. Theoretically, these pleasant emotions in a person's life would modify the threat posed by the rage and make symptoms unnecessary. One can carry this to the point of absurdity, but I believe something like it goes on, and that the occurrence of symptoms reflect too much rage and not enough counteracting soothing elements in one's life. This is just one of those little pearls of wisdom that I love Mind-Body Prescription for. This idea that as we're going through life, we should not only aim to decrease our rage, but also to increase our soothing. The things like exercise, it sounds like, is for Herbie, or meditation is for several of the people on the call. These things which soothe us and counteract the negative feelings that we're talking about.
I certainly noticed, Forrest, that I could walk through a burning building. I could torture myself through grad school. I could do all kinds of things. I could take care of my mother with dementia until my mother died. And my mother had been the soother all my life. Mm-hmm. I realized that. I took it for granted. But when that was gone, that was the point at which TMS started to manifest. Like almost a linear thing, because she wasn't there to say, oh, you can take it because, you know, I'm going to treat you, I'm going to give you a reward, an emotional reward. Mm-hmm. And without that there, then the mechanism broke down, the mechanism of repression.
And you reached your threshold.
Yeah, exactly. You can only take so much, but you can take a lot if you have some soother in your life, a wife, a girlfriend, a mother. I guess it's different for girls, a father figure, someone who says it's all right. And once that's gone, you know, the problem gets out of balance then. The symptoms begin to manifest.
Right, right.
That's so true. My wife is like that to me. And
good.
Without her being that person, gosh, talk about the exercise I have to do then. I mean, he really does a lot to really, you know, be that partner like who my mom was when she was living. Kind of Freudism there, you know. Look for somebody like my mom and got them, and I thank God for it. And sometimes I have to tell her to quit of being mom, you know. She's always looking out for me, you know, and that means a lot to us, you know. That relationship, as I was talking about earlier in the week, we all need a friend. We all need somebody that's going to be looking, watching our back, somebody that's going to be a true friend, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have repressions, you know, without a friend, you know, Forrest. You sitting there, there was a guy that wrote a song called Hello Walls, and it reminded me of that so much before I met, you know, my wife, because every day, that's what I was doing. I just looked at those walls, and I was waiting, you know, and I was asking, when are they going to be here? And at the same time, you know, I could really tell the pressure in my back was really there a lot. From not having a soother, as Bruce was saying, somebody can soothe you.
How does she soothe you? Like what sort of things does she do?
It's friendship. Somebody that'll listen to you when you got 1,000 ideas and knowing nobody else wants to hear it, but she'll sit there all night long and listen to every bit of it, you know? And mm-hmm. because I get to speak it and talk it and bring it out, then I'm able to be who I am and grow. And without that, you know, it's hard to grow if you can't express your knowledge, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have a soother like that? It's a beautiful thing. That's setting a high bar, I have to say.
I think Bruce was fortunate that he had a loving mother. Many people don't.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. You can tell, too.
Very true. Very true. Anyone else? Joy, did you want to add to that?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Powerful thing. Important to find that source of soothing. But of course, you know, there are different sources as well. I think we're getting to 9:56. I'm afraid it is time to wrap it up. Possibly we can work on Dustin next week. Does anyone have any thoughts on where we should hear? I'd say we should probably take on a couple new sections, but maybe we can also spend some time on Dustin if we get to it next week as well. We've already done Feel Your Feelings. I guess we'll do Identify the Source of Repression. We'll do Dustin. So we'll review some of these sections, the parts that we didn't cover. Maybe we can go through and maybe take notes on some of the recordings. I'll do that at least and come up with some points because they are so rich. And then we'll
Ginger
talk about
Kelly and Dustin.
Yeah, Ginger Kelly and Justin. Dustin. And then I think definitely Stand Up to Your Inner Bully, because that's taking... because that is connected to Dustin, and then on the final one we will maybe we can even balance it out. Do you think we should get to Provide Comfort next week, or do you think that's enough?
If we get through Ginger Kelly and in particular Dustin, we'll be
all
doing
right.
Pretty good, I think.
Okay. So we'll stop. We'll do those guys, and we'll do Stand Up to Your Inner Bully, because I think that does fit in really well with Dustin in particular. Joy, do you want to share that thought you just added?
I just will, you know, thank you for allowing me to get a glimpse of your heart, a peek into your life.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I like listening to everyone's story.
Yeah, I like your statement too, Joy. Love is the oxygen of the soul.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Joy's got a beautiful voice. You got a different voice.
Thank you.
A caring voice.
I feel like the soul is the fingerprint of God that becomes the physical body, unique in its own development and expression, but filled with the divinity that is the essence of all that is.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like the soul is an invitation.
Prajna Paramita.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I totally agree on the voice. I think that, speaking of mothers, I bet you are a very caring one.
Thank you.
So I can definitely imagine that. And I look forward to hearing from you next week, again on Tuesday. Same time, same place. Stock Trader says, Forest Mania, it's about to adjourn. off we are.
Thank you, Forrest, for being a patient moderator and coach.
Well, thank you all for sharing your stories. You know, like I said, I got some feedback in between. People really like the stories. People like the experiences. They like hearing what works. So I think I'm really happy with this show. So great job, all.
Yeah, God bless you guys. God bless you, Joy.
Good host.
Take care. Talk to you next week.